George Cappanelli here. Welcome to this edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We are your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in what we call a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors and provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with always good music.
Our topic, not enough grown-ups. We're going to look at what is happening in our youth-obsessed, age-averse world. Some of what's going on is a headlong rush to go faster, skew younger, and move very quickly into a fully technological world. We are losing in the process a great deal of collective wisdom of our culture, our institutions, and our businesses. That's why we make this statement that there are not enough grown-ups, and those who are present are not given the kind of honor and respect they deserve, and we'll look deeply at that. You'll also hear the next part of a conversation Sedina and I had with best-selling author and world-class intuitive Sonia Choquette.
Okay, we have music today, Sarah McLachlan. Elsewhere, the track, Possessions, Another Cut, and Fumbling Toward Ecstasy. Hopefully that's where we're going. Our special features today, and we'll bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. George and I will talk. Sedina will share a valuable and live in aging strategy. And we'll close with a By George provocative commentary.
So welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
I love the time and in between, the calm inside me, in the space where I can breathe. I believe there is a distance I have wandered to touch upon the years of reaching out.
In the midst of winter, I have found within myself an endless summer. This quote from the French existential philosopher Albert Camus leads us into our topic today, not enough grown-ups. Don't get us wrong, we love the energy, talent, optimism of youth, but we would be less than honest if we did not also admit that we are more than a little tired of living in a youth-obsessed and age-averse culture and having to deal with all of the untruths and negative consequences. In fact, when we look out across America today, one of the things we missed most is the presence of adults, of real grown-ups, and those who are growing older. And in particular, the presence of genuine elders who can offer real experience, emotional stability, continuity with the past, and depending on the occasion, varying degrees of guidance, discipline, discernment, moral courage, strength, and wisdom.
I like those attributes, and it's what we do. This is what we're about. It's not to say that grown-ups only come in older bodies, for there are a number of young people who demonstrate real wisdom. Thank goodness for them. It is also true that there are plenty of older people, far too many, in fact, who have aged physically but not matured emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Mythologist Michael Mead calls them olders rather than elders. Still, the bottom line is that our culture, unfortunately, no longer celebrates and encourages the participation and support of elders. Instead, it worships other characteristics and behaviors that appear to us to be enthusiastic, but often a lot more superficial cosmetics, we might say, and transient changing.
Hence our missing the presence of grown-ups and our ruminating on the possibility that one of the reasons our country may be in such trouble is that too many of us who are older Gen Xers, boomers, and elders have bought into the myth of youth and as a result have stepped aside or allowed ourselves to be marginalized. This missing becomes even more apparent when we turn our attention to Washington, to many of our state capitals, and to our corporate and financial landscape, where the unwillingness to listen, the willful dissemination of misinformation, gamesmanship, and the obstruction of genuine progress have become acceptable rules of the day.
What happened, we wonder, to those who practice civility, honesty, integrity, and the art of intelligent solution-based public discourse? What happened to those who understand that public service means precisely that and not the pursuit of narrow, self-serving agendas that advance the positions of the privileged few and violate the rights and needs of the many? What happened to those who understand the ebb and flow of history, who value patience and appreciate decency, advance the need for collaboration, moderation, and even that dreaded word, compromise? And what happened to love, George? More love.
Where are those who understand that advocacy must be balanced by curiosity about another's point of view? And where are those who understand that ideas and beliefs are only temporary stopping points on the path to greater knowledge, deeper awareness, and new discoveries? Where are these grown-ups in the modern world? You see, from our perspective, in this media-mad, fast-food-addicted, technologically-focused, consumer-driven, youth-obsessed culture, we appear to have forgotten that some of the greatest achievements in history were accomplished by people who were in the second half of their lives. And this great forgetting and the resultant failure to include elders in the critical decisions of our time has had and will continue to have serious long-term and detrimental impact on our world.
Yeah, and we may even have the wrong elders in Congress and some other places. Yeah. Even though they're old, they haven't made the best decisions for the collective common good. So that's why we ask, where are the grown-ups? And unfortunately, we don't have simple answers, but we do know that unless we who are elders, aging elders, start honoring our wisdom and experience and stop allowing those who are less experienced, often not as well informed and certainly lacking in compassion, to create the policies that impact our lives, the road ahead will get a whole lot rockier for us and ultimately for all Americans.
So we invite you, as we move about in our daily lives, to begin asking questions. Where are the grown-ups? And also, we might want to ask, what is the price we're paying individually and collectively for their balance? So when Albert Camus says, in the midst of winter, I found within myself an endless summer, what did he mean? And why should we, in this pressure-packed, productivity-oriented, age-averse culture, even care?
Here's some Sarah McLachlan.
Holding out, holding in. I believe this is heaven to no one else but me, and I'll defend it long as I can be left here to linger in silence if I choose to. Would you try to understand? I know this love is passing time, passing through like liquid. I'm drunk in my desire, but I love the way you smile at me. I love
to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation. Dina and George here with Conversations with the Wisdom Keepers, and we're having a wonderful time with Sonia Choquette, a beautiful wisdom keeper, author of many, many books. We were just talking about her books. And we'd like to turn our attention now, Sonia, to your most recent book, which I am just having a blast delving into. It's called Tune In, Let Your Intuition Guide You to Fulfillment and Flow.
Sonia, on the cover, Ariel Ford says, Sonia Choquette is a gifted and brilliant teacher who will show you how to easily and powerfully tap into your own intuition. In this book, you'll discover what your soul is really calling for, which will ultimately propel you into an inspired future. What a gift to give human beings. Talk to us a little bit about that, would you?
Well, Tune In is a result of my having worked intimately and still do work intimately with people every day all over the world. So not only am I a teacher, my pulse is on where people really are. I am very connected to what the real struggles are. And it is about this disconnect that we have suffered, this fracture and this disconnection from our heart wisdom, our authentic self, our spirit. And right now, there is sort of a divine shift going on in the planet. We're all here as students, and I feel like we're in summer school. We have to go back and learn the lessons that we haven't learned. And so that's what this big global disruption we're experiencing is about. And so I've written the book to help you walk through this, because we are being required to grow into spirited beings who don't work against one another, me against you, and annihilate ourselves, but we begin to work with our spirit connecting to the life around us in spirit, and we start to grow a life that nurtures not just you, but everyone.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, yeah. Just to finish it, just I set it up in phases and bite sizes, because that's the only way we can grow. Right. And I speak not to what you should do, but to what is happening and how to respond to it now.
Right.
I was going to respond to that, you know, spirited beings in, you know, cooperation and support. We had a conversation with Greg Braden the other day, and he was reminding us and our listeners of how science has now demonstrated the fallibility of the whole survival of the fittest premise, that in reality nature is a wonderfully interdependent and cooperative system. And so what you're communicating obviously echoes and reinforces that in a much different way.
Right. He says we're living in a friendly universe, which is a completely different way of looking at things. And so much of your work, this book is just unveiling a lot of that. And aligning with our deeper inner voice really helps the anxiety to lift, is what you're saying.
Right. It's a book about how to move out of the world of lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and into the Emerald City without the drama, and begin to see that life's rich and can be rich for you, and you can feel in flow. You can experience life in a much more exponentially glorious way than anybody ever gave you any incentive to live or any possibility. So I really walk people into that experience with this book.
You also walk them in with wonderful guidance and very clear instructions, which is incredibly, you know, valuable. And you say something in your dedication that I think says so much about not only your work, but who you are and the guidance that you're sharing with people. When you say, to the Holy Spirit, the divine sources of all life, I offer this book in humble service to and in deep gratitude for your never-ending loving light upon us all. Thank you for the gift of my life.
So beautiful, Sonia. And that's the way I choose to live my life. So it's wonderful to have a guide, you know, have all of this laid out with simple instructions and how to even make that deeper in my life day to day.
Surrender, humility, gratitude, right. You know, talk about showing the way.
Exactly.
Just terrific. You also begin with that well-used quote from the good Mr. Shakespeare that, you know, this above all else to thine own self be true. Talk a little bit about that, would you?
Well, I think the basic problem that everyone is suffering is that the self that we think we are is not our authentic self, but our manufactured ego self, which is a construct of defense mechanisms to survive what felt like the war zone of our childhood. So we abandoned ship in order to survive when we were young and vulnerable and needed to win the approval of those who had the power. But if we don't reset that button and come back to our true and authentic self, we, no matter how much effort we put into life, there won't be that deep inner peace. There won't be that place, that sweet spot where you can just rest and say, ah, mm-hmm. Oh, I feel good. And so the self to be true is that authentic self, that wonderful spirit that you are that didn't need to be fixed, hidden, didn't need to be abandoned. And if you're true to that authentic self, which can be found, and really you can connect with, it's that intuitive voice. That is your authentic self. And when you live with that intuitive voice as your primary voice, mm-hmm. that primary self, everything else will reset. You change the channel. And your experience will be different. So it's kind of like going from AM talk radio to satellite. You know, we get into a much more open opportunity when we live in this spirit voice in our heart.
Right. And when we do honor our authentic self, you point out that it is realistic to expect that we'll be challenged again and again to face those, our fears. So that we can stand up to our truth and come back to our authentic self. It's not going to be an overnight, although you're saying it's very simple. Every time we face the truth, the fears are going to come up, right?
And I have a tool for that. You know, what I've noticed in working with people and in my own life and my own experiences and struggles, it isn't our fears that stop us. It's hiding them.
Right.
And if we begin to start openly saying that I fear being rejected, I fear being attacked, I fear being alone, I fear being made to feel stupid, I fear being broke, I fear being, and you put those fears, you voice those fears and put them into the light, you can kind of, they evaporate.
Right.
Because your fears are not facts. And though you feel fear, it doesn't necessarily mean you're in danger.
Right.
And so I try to bring people to present time by voicing those fears. And again and again and again, once those fears are voiced, put into the light, they evaporate and that authentic self takes over. That deep inner intuitive voice. I just did this in New York and a woman who was crying, sobbing, shaking, nearly having a panic attack, ended up laughing and saying, you know what? I'm not afraid. Not anymore. Now that I call that tool emptying the garbage.
Yeah, as soon as it's clear, as soon as it comes up, it gives the ability to have that space so that love can enter. But until then, we are just kind of clogged up inside.
You know, we're gonna take a break in a minute. When we come back, I'd like, if you would, for you to talk a little bit about how someone, once they start admitting their fear, how do they deal with the pushback that happens in the world around them? You know, so we're talking in this extended conversation with Sonia Choquette. Terrific information. Delighted to be with you today, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
We have returned. Yours truly, Alan Huttner and George Cappanelli, your co-hosts here on Age Nation Radio Magazine segment number 3. We talk about some of the Sonia Choquette wisdom that showed up here. And I liked at the very beginning when she said, the real trouble is a disconnect from ourselves and each other, and that we're here to relearn those lessons as souls after who knows how many incarnations. You might not believe in reincarnation, you might not believe in many lifetimes, but there certainly are lessons to learn in this one. And here you are, as one of the great wisdom teachers of our time, Ram Dass, says, you got to be here now. So what's this disconnect about? And you know, she's pretty clear about speaking about ego self, that all of this stems from a false identification, that she reminds us that the ego is a construct of a defense mechanism. We talked about the flight or fight response last time on the show, and that we create these defenses that we don't need anymore, and that keeps us separate from each other. It keeps us from loving. It keeps us in fear. It keeps us in war. It keeps us in separation. So, hey, it's time to wake up and recognize that we're part of a whole.
Yeah, and another phrase she uses is the manufactured self, you know, the one that sometimes we as kids do find ourselves in positions of being challenged or oppressed or beaten or confused or whatever, and we manufacture a way of dealing with it because we don't have another way of dealing with it. But now that we age, we have that opportunity to make a choice to say, is that really me? Is that the way that I want to be in the world? Are there other ways that I can express or engage, you know? And one of the cues that Sonia keeps giving is to surrender, to listen to that intuitive inner voice. And that voice is far more frequently very different than the voices that come back at us. And, you know, to listen to oneself and to act on it, we have to be willing to suffer the pains of rejection or confusion, because the world oftentimes doesn't want that unique, authentic self to speak. The world wants to hear the same old mumbo jumbo that keeps us confined.
I don't know if I'd use the word world. I think it's the status quo or the construct reality of a collective that doesn't want that. But the world itself is a friendly place, as she points out. It's all okay. It's what are we identifying with, you know? And I hate to be simplistic, but you know, are we in the love frequency or are we in the fear frequency? And I love the acronym for both, but I'm going to do the fear one right now. False evidence appearing real. It is not real. It's an energy that we allow from the influence of other people, including at the very beginning, she brings up abandonment. And, you know, that's one of my miasms. My parents didn't know how to love me enough, but I've changed over the years. And this is the lesson as souls we're learning right now. Wake up to your love.
And let's hear what Sarah has to say about possession. So it's time for You Gotta Be Kidding. Sometimes we look at hard news. Sometimes we look at opinion. Some of it's absurd and ridiculous, and then some of it's uplifting and inspirational. Because our topic today is about not enough grown-ups, Alan has some really terrific stuff from Jim Hightower. But before we do that, I just want to remind those of us who are listening that this whole topic of ageism that exists in our world, this prejudice that people laugh at, that we laugh at ourselves, you know, oh, that was a senior moment, or oh, this, or oh, that, ways in which we denigrate and lessen our capacities, whereas in truth, science tells us that we have the capacity to constantly expand. It's called meotony. As we age, that our brains don't have to shrink and we don't have to give way to things. Sometimes it's toxicity, sometimes it's other things. But the real truth is that we as individuals are responsible for setting aside that prejudice, just like we're responsible for moving past some of these other obstructions that Jim Tower points out to us.
Yep, Jim Hightower. I again give you the website, HightowerLowdown.org. He's a wise former politician, now writer, and The Lowdown is this incredible newsletter. And George and I went over a few of the bulleted items that affect not only the whole population, but maybe, you know, this saging population even more. Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision, we've talked about it many times. There is a petition going around to do either a... what would it be called? An amendment to, you know, the Constitution. Yeah. So search Citizens United. That's the Supreme Court decision. Voter suppression laws. You know, who does it affect? The minorities and the seniors. They don't want as much of a make it easy to vote. Why not vote online? You know, then nobody has to show up at the polls.
Or vote however we vote, but to be allowed to vote. This tattered safety net, people in Washington keep trying to rip it asunder, believing somehow or another that there isn't going to be a huge price tag that we pay anyway. So why not take really good care of our citizens and reduce all the peripheral costs rather than pretending you can cross somebody off on a balance sheet and they go away? They don't go away, you know?
Also, legalized tax dodging. You know, we know a lot of these big multinational corporations taking over in an energetic way as well as an influential way in belief systems that have offshored their profits in some way that they don't pay tax here in this country. I mean, if we just close a lot of those loopholes, and believe me, I'm an ex-tax guy, 12 years in, you know, as a tax professional, time to close the loopholes.
You know, there's also the crumbling infrastructure. There's payday loan schemes that, and all kinds of schemes that prey on people who are aging. And it's just a remarkable circumstance that we're in. And we could take such better care of people who are frail and people who need our support. And in a world in which 50% of our population will soon be 50 and over, there are a lot of people who need our support.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other bullets here that we'd go over, but I want to go to the Do Something segment of the newsletter. And again, if you go online, it supports a good thing. It's the Hightower Lowdown. Check it out. But Black Lives Matter, Hands Up United, and Gathering for Justice are all websites in here that you can look up. Again, Black Lives Matter, Hands Up United, and Gathering for Justice. There's about a dozen of them. And we'll go to Sarah McLachlan for a little music here to close out this segment.
Age Nation Radio. Love. laugh, enjoy life. Harvest the Wisdom, Age Nation Radio.
All right.
George and Alan back for segment four. Here's Sedina with Enlivened Aging.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies. These are simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging strategy is balancing. So what is balance? The dictionary says it is a state of equilibrium, mental steadiness or emotional stability, a habit of calm behavior and judgment. Peter Drucker, the famous management consultant, says it's not just about doing things right, it's about doing the right things. Those right things are the ones that create mind, body, and spirit harmony and maintain a sense of balance. If we're out of balance, it's usually because one of these things is not being kept in shape and cared for. And much like the automatic pilot of an airplane, we will always be correcting our course. We will always be balancing. As time goes by, we learn it isn't the speed with which we do our work or go through our day, but the quality of time that makes life a pleasure. How much do we enjoy working or playing or just resting? If we seldom have time to enjoy something just for the sake of it, because schedules and deadlines take up most of our time, then it is time for a course correction. A good guidance system is our breath. By checking in during the day to make sure we are breathing fully, touching in with our hearts, and feeling the emotions that are present, we can know if we're out of balance. The next step is just to give ourselves permission to stop, breathe, and choose a healthy response. Whether it's choosing positive thoughts or healthy foods or simply sending love to ourselves and others, we're coming into coherence and bringing mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual balance back to our whole system. And it follows that by simply becoming observant of our thoughts and feelings, we can recognize a stressful feeling and put the brakes on by focusing our attention away from the racing mind and placing it on the area around our heart. One of our greatest balancing tools is the power of good choice. You can always choose the feeling of appreciation rather than resentment or agitation. Gratitude for the way things are, rather than identification with what is not working, opens the gift of life and balances our whole system. So remember to include balancing in your Aging Consciously backpack and go to Enlivened Aging, that's AGEING.com, for more. Many blessings.
She's got the message now.
Yeah.
She's got it.
She's been listening, apparently.
Yeah. So Sarah, by the way.
Yeah,
Sarah McLaughlin. She gave up fear.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So, all right. What's cooking here, George? You got one of our By George provocative commentaries
for us now?
All right. So, go for it.
So we've been talking about grown-ups, about the fact that there appear to be fewer and fewer of them playing major roles on the public stages on which we focus so much of our attention, politics, media, economics. There, unfortunately, also seem to be fewer and fewer grown-ups even in ordinary life. And when I say that, I'm not suggesting that there aren't a lot of people who are aging, a lot of gray hairs moving around in our world. In fact, as we move about in many of our cities and towns, it's clear that our population, just as the experts tell us, is indeed aging. But I want to remind you of what mythologist and storyteller Michael Mead so artfully has told us And that's that there's a distinct difference between someone who just ages chronologically and someone who ages emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Someone who's been captured in the same habituated beliefs and practices for decades versus someone who's constantly pushing the envelope, willing to take risks, stay true to the call of their heart, learn the lessons they've come here to learn, and keep getting deeper and richer and more passionate about this adventure they call life. That's an elder, a wise one. And frankly, from our perspective, there just aren't enough of the wise ones present. And again, we want to be clear, we're not saying that wisdom is the exclusive province of elders, for there are many young people who come in loaded for bear, as they say, full of deep understandings and rich in the intuitive wisdom that they carry. But we're not talking about the exceptions to the rule. What we're talking about is how we can move from this society that is so youth-obsessed and age-averse, this society in which the wisdom and experience of the elder is simply not valued, where discernment and patience are too often considered encumbrance, and where traditional values that measure the effectiveness of something against its impact over multiple generations is considered too tedious and cumbersome. That's what we're talking about. So if you're in the second half of life and you find yourself wondering some of the things that we've been talking about, where have all the grown-ups gone? Perhaps you might want to consider some things you can do about it. Here are some things that are on my list. Whenever you find even a hint of ageism, that prejudice against growing old, then do all that you can to dispel it. Wherever you locate a belief that you are holding that is limiting, cynical, fearful, or separating, particularly if this belief is something you've held for some time, then make a commitment to yourself to replace it with a belief that's more expansive, joyful, and advancing to your life. Where you have unfinished business, issues that remain unresolved between you and people you know, actions that you're not proud of, that you have still incomplete, then clean them up. Where there are people who you can assist, people who can benefit from your wisdom, then share it generously. Where there are risks you still resist, challenges that are still in your way, especially when they block your living your dreams, then take steps with courage. Where are things you don't say to those you love and to those who trouble you, then start saying them. Where you're still holding too tightly to possessions, to people and concepts, surrender them. Where you are still trying to control others and limit their behavior, let go of that control and set them free. And where you do what you do is still motivated by what you think you'll get in return rather than the pure joy of giving, then let go of all that stuff. In this way, you can become one of the grown-ups, one of the elders, and you will enrich not only your own life, but the lives of everyone you meet.
All right. Very good tip list, George. So we'll continue always covering one or more of those ideas in our Age Nation Radio Magazine collaboration here next week. Another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. I've got a surprise guest coming up. We'll just spring that on you when we go into April.
Okay, and we're just a couple of days away from the Global Wisdom Summit. You still have time to sign up and listen to 35 remarkable wisdom and keepers and authors. Just go to www.thewisdomsummit.com. 15 days, April 2nd through 16th. Get your front row seat. Remember, Sedina and I will be at Mile High Church in Denver on the 10th and 11th of April, and then we've got a terrific Navigating Your Future series in Seattle you can learn all about at agenation.com. And now here's Sarah to take us out.
I think she's fumbling toward ecstasy, as we all wish.
It's my mouth that pushes out this breath. Thank you.
best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.